live on 720 WGN. Live from Saturday Night Live and the SNL exhibit at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. Now, welcome, John Williams.
Chris Duffy, you've got it down. Well done. Thank you. 108 on WGN Radio. We are now live from our Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. Today's show is live from, well, it's almost impossible not to suddenly cop that voice. Live from Saturday Night Live, the experience at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. It's good to be here. We'll be here until 3 o'clock. Violetta Podramedic is here. We have a nice little crowd of folks who won tickets from us on WGN Radio. Steve Bertrand's walking across the way, and we have a couple of guests that will pop in either in studio or on the phone. Our guest Mark will be joining us in just a minute. Mark Locke, who is the creative director of this exhibit, SNL The Experience. And we're going to talk a lot about that on the show today and then sort of divert off to a couple of other topics, including, I'll just say this now because it deserves to be said at the top of the show, and then I'll say a few things at greater length after our 1:30 break and WGN Radio News. And that is Milt Rosenberg, the longtime host of Extension 720 here on WGN Radio, passed away yesterday. I know a lot of you that are here watching us right now in this Museum of Broadcast Communications remember him and loved him. He was iconic in Chicago. I didn't understand what he was talking about half the time, but I knew it was really good when he was doing it, and that was enough for me. I knew I didn't always have to know what he was talking about. The guy was a maestro at his craft, and that was enough. So we'll give him his due. Maybe it's almost important or appropriate that we are at a place that honors great broadcasting today, because Milt was surely a great broadcaster. You know, we're also going to sort of recollect since we're here. So here's what you have. On State Street, downtown Chicago, not too far from, oh, I don't know, the Corncob Towers, the Trump Tower, the River, Harry Carey's. That's the little neighborhood we're in, Violetta. There's this building called the Museum of Broadcast Communications. Mm-hmm. Have you toured here before?
I have not, but I think everyone who goes to the corner of State and Kinsey have seen that Christmas tree almost of the TVs or radios and are like, what is that?
Oh, that's right, yeah. It's really cool. This is where we are. We're on the fourth floor right now, and they have an installation here called the Saturday Night Live Experience. And it's really fun. It is really well done. You know how sometimes you go somewhere and you go, oh, yeah, it's a couple of T-shirts and a couple of posters. That wasn't the SNL experience. This is. You'll sit in seats just the way people do that are in the audience for the opening monologue and act. And then to your immediate right when you're sitting there, you actually are as close as is humanly possible to the set where Alex Trebek is doing Celebrity Jeopardy. And that's the actual board and the actual podiums that, you know, Burt Reynolds or Sean Connery would be doing their shtick. So it's up close and personal. On the one hand, you get impressed with the sort of magic and grandeur of it all, but you also realize, wow, it's tiny. It's not as fancy as I thought it was going to be.
Cozy.
It is. Well, there you go. That's what it is. It's not small or tiny. It's cozy. Mark Locke curated this for the museum, and he's not here today, but he's on a phone. Hey, Mark, you're on WGN in Chicago. How are you?
I am well, John. Pleasure to be with you. How are you?
Nice job. We're doing well. This is a hit. We're glad that you were able to do what you did, Mark.
Well, a labor of love, I guess. You know, the opportunity started many, many years ago when, of all things, I met Lorne Michaels in our King Tut exhibition. The same way, this was in New York, but the same one that was at the Field Museum. The conversation started then, and it didn't happen back then, 2010. But when the 40th anniversary of Saturday Night Live came around a couple years ago, which we may all remember from the special, it seemed like everybody who was anybody was at that special, and the 40th anniversary season, and to celebrate this thing came about, and we were able to open in New York and now take it on the road for the first time to Chicago.
Yeah. So you curate things. Is that it? You did the Titanic exhibit. You did the King Tut exhibit at the Field, and you were also responsible for imagining and putting this thing together here, huh?
Yeah, I'm not complaining. it's been quite a run for me doing things that I really love, and certainly the city of Chicago has been quite kind to both of those other exhibitions you mentioned. We did the Titanic exhibition back in 2000, and then in 2002 at the Museum of Science and Industry, and then the Tutankhamun exhibition at the Field Museum. And when we were looking to take the Saturday Night Live exhibition on the road, it seemed like the natural choice not only to go to Chicago because of its incredible connections to Saturday Night Live over the years with Second City and Improv Olympics, but also that museum that you've just talked about, kind of the perfect fit as far as its mission and space. I mean, you're on the fourth floor now, as you mentioned, John, but the exhibition actually starts on the second floor, as you know, and takes you through the week of putting Saturday Night Live together. So you're right. I've had the privilege, the opportunity, and the pure fun of sitting there at 30 Rock and watching the rehearsals and the writing sessions and the read-throughs and going out to the Scenic Shop out in Brooklyn and watching it all come together in the matter of 6 days. You know, they start with kind of a clean slate every week. And one of my favorite quotes in the exhibition from Lorne Michaels is, we don't start because we're ready. We start because it's 11:30. So it's this kind of high-wire act every week, and we hope that this exhibition takes people behind the scenes like never before.
I thought it'd be enough just to say, give me the set, we'll stick it in the corner, folks will marvel at it. But to do this, you immerse yourself in it? You actually hung around Saturday Night Live for a while?
Yes. One of the joys of the job that I do, you know, when we did the Titanic exhibit, I was able to get in one of those small submersibles and go to the bottom of the ocean and see the Titanic firsthand. When we did the Tut exhibit, going to King Tut's tomb in Egypt. But, you know, all those are pretty spectacular emotional experiences. But, you know, it was always on my bucket list to at least see Saturday Night Live. You know, with all due respect to Hamilton, it's the toughest ticket in town in New York. I mean, you can't buy a ticket to SNL. There are about 20, 21 shows a season. And for me, not only to see the show, but kind of spend the season there watching it all happen. They gave me full access and also participated. You know, I want to give credit where credit is due. The scenic department, the hair and makeup, the wardrobe department, the writers, the cast, during rehearsals, they kind of all participated in putting this together. And I've had a small part in that as well, of course. But I think when you see this exhibition and you see the love and care that went into presenting it, you see all those folks that bring the show every week to life also help to bring this exhibition to life.
Violetta and I and Steve Bertrand and Elif, we're all talking, the team here, about, okay, so what are some of your favorite Saturday Night Live skits or bits? Yours is?
All things Sarah Palin.
Yeah, that was good.
Very good.
She can see Russia.
You know, and when I, how can you argue, like, this is an argument no one can win, because you say, okay, I'll say Tina Fey doing Sarah Palin, but then I'll counter with Sweaty Balls, you know, that skit.
And that's always a good one.
And so how do you pick amongst your children, which do you like the best? You know, the one that I was kind of thinking of, though, that if you go down that road is Landshark. Do you remember Landshark? What a stupid bit. How was that so resonant and memorable and funny? I mean, okay, here's just a clip from Landshark circa, what would you guess the year is I'm going to play here, Mark? 1970s, late 70s maybe?
75. I think that was during the first season. And when you, after you play the clip, I'll give you a little info about how it connects to the exhibition as well.
How about that? Here we go.
Who is it?
This is Rob Lumber.
Who is it?
Lumber.
Plumber? I didn't ask for a plumber. Who is it?
Telegram.
Oh, telegram, just a moment.
She opens the door, and then this ridiculous cartoon foam shark swallows her whole. And that's the bit. I could watch that 100 times and not get tired of it. So what do you say about that, Mark?
Well, I agree with you. And 101, I think. We feature it in the opening film in the exhibition. Visitors are taken into what looks like the elevator lobby at 30 Rock, as if they're going up to the ninth floor to see the show. And during that opening film, we play that clip. We play tribute to that first season. And then the doors open, the elevator doors, and you are walking towards home base, that home base you see there in three dimension in front of you. But this is a photograph. And before you know it, we've taken you back to 1975 and Monday, that day of the week when everything starts. And you'll see a full-scale replica of the first home base. And as you walk past that, there is the land shark, that goofy shark that you talked about. Now,
I didn't even know that. That's funny.
Yeah. It's not the one that was there in 75. That is long since gone. In fact, one of the things you learn about the show, they never expected to be on the air for 43 years, let alone one season, let alone the first show even. So some of that stuff was gone forever, but it was so popular, that sketch, John, as you mentioned, it was redone for the 40th anniversary show by the same guy that built the foam shark back in 75, and there it is in the exhibition. So proud to have those sorts of pieces of history throughout this exhibit.
And yet you go from there to, say, another one of my favorite Saturday Night Live memories, if you will, was Dave Chappelle the night after the election, or the first live show after the election, doing what I thought was one of America's great monologues. And so you go from something that's inane and silly to something that's political and poignant and important. And what a range, what an ambition for a TV show to have. My understanding was that John Belushi eventually got a little tired of some of the silliness, the killer bees and things like that, that he wanted them to be more contemporary and cutting and not just silly. What do you remember or know about all of that?
I think that's true. I certainly sit at the feet of those historians that know SNL far better than I do. And by the way, we have the Killer Bee outfit in the exhibition as well. Some of our great comedic minds, our great comedic performers have come through Saturday Night Live. And, they're different, right? Some are silly and fun, and some are a little more complicated, like John was. And John had a very serious side, as we know. To your point, though, the Chappelle monologue, I agree with you. What a great piece of comedy and stand-up. I'm always amazed. You know, some of the monologues, you can tell performers that are actors or sports figures, you know, they're written for them, and they work with the writing staff to come up with an opening monologue. But when you see a true stand-up work it, like Chappelle did that night, the monologue usually goes much longer, and you really see that expression, that genius that so many of these stand-up comedians that have hosted Saturday Night Live have. The other thing to your point, John, real quickly, is even though silly sometimes, and we can look at Sarah Palin or Tina Fey as Sarah Palin, or Kate McKinnon as Hillary, or even our latest Donald Trump that we all know, of course, Alec Baldwin. It can be very silly, but it also is something that stimulates conversation the next day around the water cooler, I guess we still say. So it can be silly, it can be fun, it can be adolescent at times, but it usually politically, socially can point to something bigger that we're all talking about.
Mark Locke is the creative director of the exhibit SNL The Experience here at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. We're on State Street in the 300 block in Chicago, just north of the river. Is Kedzie the cross street? Is that what you said a little while ago, Violetta?
Kinsey.
Don't go to Kedzie. That's a different street. Before I let you go, Mark, and by the way, Steve Bertrand just joining us here. Hi, Stevie. How are you?
Yay. Great.
One last question for our guest, then we'll all kind of kibitz a little bit about this, too, and that is, Mark, generally, what do you want people to make sure they see, or based on your experience putting this together, what stands out to you the most?
Well, you know, like any exhibition, and over the years I've had the privilege of doing a number of ones that have been seen by a few folks, people take away different things, but what I hear most about this from guests, when I kind of will stand into the corner and do a little questioning after they go through, it's usually this comment: "I had no idea." Well, you know, we turn on at 11:30 or 10:30 in Chicago on Saturday night, And, you know, it's like I said, it's a high wire act every week, sometimes better than the last or the last season better than the next. But it's always something that takes a risk. And when I think and have personally seen the thing come together from Monday and then that read through of the potential scripts, about 35 scripts read on Wednesday, and then Wednesday night those scripts are chosen, not all of them will make air, and then the sets start to be built on Thursday morning and rehearsals start and hair and makeup and wardrobe get busy, it really is incredible how it all comes together at this deadline when the show starts. And live from New York, it's Saturday night, is set over these many years. So I think people are most amazed by how it all comes together. It's a fun exhibit. I mean, you can plop yourself down on the Wayne's World set. It's not an exhibit that's behind glass, if you will. It's very participatory, got all the memories that you'd ever want, the things that you remember from the 70s all the way up to this season. So something I'm proud to be a part of. And I know people take different things from each experience, but it's mainly that, wow, this is amazing how this all comes together.
Mark Locke's the creative director of the exhibit, SNL The Experience, here at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. Mark, I want to visit with you in studio sometime the next time you're through Chicago. Make sure we sit down together, okay?
Be my pleasure. Great to be with you guys today. Enjoy the exhibition. Enjoy your day.
Yeah, we are at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. Saturday Night Live, The Experience is here, and we're glad you are too. Steve just strolled into the studio. Hi, Steve Bertrand. How are you?
Hello, John Williams. I'm well. Thank you.
You hustled over after you did the noontime. What is the name of that show you do over there?
It's called the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Wintrust Business
Lunch. Thanks for never missing it.
Did you walk here?
Yeah.
Oh. Violetta took a cab.
What?
She took a cab.
I just wanted to be faster. Plus, I knew the traffic was good.
I'm not sure that a cab would be faster.
It really was. He saw me struggling. I stepped in some mud. He pulled over right away, and I jumped in.
Wow. So chivalry is not dead in Chicago. We'll pause and play back a couple more of our favorite clips from SNL on WGN.